Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 193 of the Ant King Frequency. How are you going, Larry?
Not too bad, my friend. Not too bad. I'm actually excited because today I have tracking number, and so I have a package coming in that is two classic comic books, Conan the Barbarian, with the first official comic book debut of Elric of Melon Bonnet. Michael Moorcock's character.
Lisa Bonet.
No, Elric of Melon and Bonnet. The White Wolf.
I was going to say, pretty sure Cosby Show was like the first appearance of Lisa Bonet, but
Elric of Melon and Bonnet. But it's he's unique enough for the Witcher series of novels, eventually the games, to be basically ripping him off,
right?
Because of the potions he uses, the look, everything like that. But I was able to find an extremely good deal on the two issues he shows up in, because normally it would cost me arm and a leg, and I wouldn't be willing to pay arm and a leg for it, because then I'd get cybernetic implants and be put in a black suit and be a henchman to a prune senator.
Yeah. What's your stance on sand, by the way?
Sand is coarse. It gets everywhere.
Okay, cool. Just have to check.
Crack.
Check.
You gotta think that everybody's like jokes about that whole thing. I've come around to the start. Like, imagine how now understand Middle Eastern terror. You got sand everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's always there because there's no any water sources. You have to drink it. Because we didn't do I jump in there and get all the sand off me just so I can get more sand on me later, or do I drink the water? Oh, well, you know, can't go into the ocean because of, you know, all the pollution.
Well, I think that's a reductionist perspective on the Arabic plight, but sure. Sure. Let's say that's it. So you got some new comics. Anything new happening in the comic book world?
Yes. Actually, something came out yesterday, which is if you follow me on Twitter at Larry King Undead, so I'm gonna get that out of the way, plug myself. But I'll occasionally you'll see me retweeting, and I've actually had the retweeting Alternate Comics, as well as I've had the publisher of Alternate Comics, Peter Cimetti, on my YouTube channel, which I. Apparently, I was trying to get a customized YouTube URL, but it's such a pain in the butt. I was like, forget it. I wanted to be YouTube.com/LarryKingUndead. Can't do it for some reason. I don't know why. But, well. And he revealed yesterday on a stream that apparently it was a plan in place at Diamond Comics that if your sales numbers were not the best, they'd kind of reconsider actually listing you in your future books. It'd be like kind of like, you know, kind of scrutinize, like, hey, you're just taking up space in our warehouse. You're not really moving product. We have to, you know, reconsider. But apparently it ain't just going to be, he didn't just get this email. A bunch of other publishers did. So not only are they reconsidering because of sales, but they also want interior page samples to see if it fits the Diamond quality standard. And this is coming, like, they're not going to do this to Marvel or DC. Hey, Marvel, this Scroll book looks bad. DC, you know, this Batman book looks bad. You know, you put some random artist on there. But they're doing this to kind of clear out from the looks of it. Now, this is just this is my interpretation of it. They're doing this to clear out independent, creator-owned books and publishers and anything that isn't Marvel, DC, or a licensed comic.
If only there was some way for them to conveniently, I know, stamp these comics that are different, that are outside, maybe some kind of star or an M.
Join the graphic novels to the left. You'll be reunited with your staples the other way. No, it's got to the point now. So now they're going to, under the guise of quality control, they're going. So if you have someone in there that doesn't like the fact that, you know, you're calling out, you know, some political BS, or because comics can have everything from Westerns, action, adventure, superhero, whatever, but it can also be political, which, you know, usually ain't my thing, but whatever. But say somebody doesn't like the way you're going, they decide not to carry you and just say, well, it's not because of your political message, it's because the artwork's just not that good. So you're allowing something that's so subjective. Like if the book is falling apart, like if you pick the book up and it's like badly made, you could, that's objectively bad.
Yeah.
You know, but if you don't like the interior,
as long
work,
as they turn the mirror on themselves, because there was some Jurgens Superman stuff in the 90s, which he pretty much phoned in, or X-Force, the 70s through to 80s, when Polina left and they were using, you know, fill in Asian and Mexican artists to really just pad out the pages.
Third worlders. That's what makes the comic industry go around. Like, that's unfortunate because there are some really good artists from outside the United States, outside of, you know, the West.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people, they go cheap. They don't go for who can do it the best, who could do a quick job that's good work, but, you know, like come in under time, you know, without beat deadlines.
Look, every company has a brand. So I totally understand if they want to do the brand, provided they aim that eye of Sauron at Marvel and DC as well as the little guys.
But they won't, though. That's the unfortunate. Well, we'll see. Diamond's the same company.
Good could come from this, Larry.
Good. Well, I hope the good is that people pick up pitchforks and torches and start going to the castle to drag them out.
No, you know, I hope the good thing is that Diamond loses a little bit of their monopoly. I hope the good thing of this is that maybe we could see the return of a secondary or a second tier distributor.
Well, there was a couple until Marvel bought one and plummeted right into the ground because they didn't know how to run a distribution company.
Well, Marvel, let alone someone else's company.
They bought at the same time they were basically starting going under. This is after this is as the bubble was burst thing, and they said, "Yeah, let's put money into this. Let's throw money at, you know, Liefeld and Lee and have them come and do Heroes Are Born with their studios." And, you know,
so Bob Harris, Tom DeFalco.
That was the Bob Harris years, yeah. I believe. But the one thing about all this that does give me some hope, it's the fact that more people are understanding what creator rights are, and also you don't need a company to publish your book to put your stuff out there.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, hopefully good things will come of it. But that's 2019 to kick it off. I guess we're going to talk about the, you know, what we're looking forward to for this year, correct?
That's right. That's right. So 2019 kicking off. We ended two episodes ago with 2018 and our look back. This is going to be our look forward. Just before we do take it away there, I just wanted to say a belated thank you to everyone out there for putting up with our week of hijinks last week. I think the gremlins got off the wing of the airplane and into my computer. So I'm still waiting on a secondary hard drive to arrive. It seems like shops just don't want to sell computer parts anymore around this part of the world. So I have to order them all in. And the Postal Service just sent me a delightful message today. I sent you a scan of this earlier, Larry. This is Australia now, where we have a postal system that pretty much is just satire. AusPost, your delivery from MSY Technology Pty Ltd is unlikely to arrive today. We'll deliver it as soon as possible. That's it.
See, as bad as the U.S. Postal Service gets, you know, being out here in the sticks and the postal truck, I've seen it drive by, go to a different, because it has to go to a first, like basically it passes my little post office by, drops it off at a bigger post office that's closer, and then that gets broken down and then shipped back to my little small post office.
Yeah.
So it's like the zigzag. If you look on it a map, like zigzag just to get out of North Carolina. It's crazy, but at least I've never had that kind of issue. It's like, yeah, they, you know, that's just unfortunate. But
anyway,
hey, that's
technically, that was a 2018 problem. So let's stop dwelling on the past, because the computer started cracking the nasties at the very end of 2018. So let's focus instead on 2019 with the Anking frequency. Look ahead at 2019. All right, Larry. So why don't we start off with the year ahead in film? Now, I can bet dollars to pesos that you are going to be there January 18th to see Glass.
Yes, I am looking forward to seeing this film. Before I actually watch it in the theater, I'm going to rewatch Unbreakable and Split. Go ahead and get those like fresh in the mind, because I'm going to have to compare them anyway. But I'm going to go see it. Probably, hopefully they usually do a Thursday showing, 7 p.m. Thursdays. I'll go ahead that Thursday before, actually be the 17th. I'll be able to actually go, you know, watch it the evening before. Nice, you know, peaceful, somewhat peaceful movie theater. Enjoy it. Hopefully enjoy the movie. Actually having like no disappointment, Shyamalan. I love Unbreakable. I love Split. Don't you know, don't screw me over. Come on, man. You know, three for three. But
I was very interested to read today that they will actually be airing in the film contextually footage that was shot for Unbreakable. Unused footage, unaired footage for Unbreakable.
Interesting. So I didn't know that.
I'm sure there'll be flashbacks or something.
See, that right there, like I've been keeping kind of under the radar, so that right, knowing that now. So if you know anything, please don't.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'll keep you. I'm excited anymore. By that. I'm not sure I'll get to the movies to see it. I don't think I'll get to the movies for a while. But yeah, I'm excited about that. Probably the next one coming up for me. Well, that's January covered. Anything else in January for you?
I think that's it. Okay. That's honestly, there's only like really two movies this year that I'm honestly looking forward to. Everything else, like if it pops up and I'm like, hey, I got the free time, I'll go watch it. Like on a third, like a Tuesday afternoon or something.
One of the first manga I ever read was on a school camp. It was Akira. Now, it was these big, heavy collected vinyl tomes that a bunch of my friends had been collecting. And sort of, it was very heavy for me to take in. So in between the tomes, I've read this other little thing which I grew to really appreciate. And it was a manga called Battle Angel Alita. This year in February, Robert Rodriguez has directed a film called Alita Battle Angel, which seems to basically follow a more Hollywoodized storyline of the same premise. So I'm really interested in that, particularly the hybridized CG human looking constructs.
Which that right there, I know you're looking forward to it, and I hate to be like a Debbie Downer, but that look, it's like, what are you doing? It looks like such a bad choice as far as, you know, in my opinion, it looks really, really poor choice, because there's an actress out there, she was in that the Tim Burton Willy Wonka movie they put out. Her name is Anna Sophia Robb. Her eyes are like naturally giant, like anime eyes.
Yeah.
And it's just put like a black wig on her, and there you go. Just put her out there. If you're going to cast a white woman to play play the character, go ahead.
I do agree. It looks a bit janky in the trailers, but I want to see what it looks like contextually in the film, particularly because I have a soft spot for Rodriguez. One of the main roles in it is Christoph Waltz, and he can make anything passably enjoyable. Check out Green Hornet as an example of a very bad film, which he makes slightly passable. Speaking of very bad films, what are your thoughts about Captain Marvel in March?
Okay, Captain Marvel, I have zero interest in this, because if she actually mattered and they actually cared, they would have put this movie out a long time ago, or at least have the character show up, you know, as a support. Like what they kind of did, well, I guess they kind of had to with Black Widow and Iron Man 2, like kind of, but do something like that, have her show up, hell, in one of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But of course they didn't. It's like, oh, it's a prequel. It's a flash. It's a whole flashback movie. Like but Marvel fans will say nothing of this. They will not. Hey, wait a second. It's like the one thing that can defeat Thanos. And in like flash back for 2 hours to set up something. It's a Deus Ex Machina.
It's but nobody will say anything. It's a big lazy MacGuffin. It's what it is.
And also, I don't like the actress. She is a, when I say bore, I think a stone would be more interesting. Like a literal stone. I thought rock.
She was kind of cute in 21 Jump Street, but that's where it ends.
I honestly, I didn't even remember she was in that until you just mentioned it.
Okay.
I didn't, and it's still, I can't really picture her in there. I mean, I believe you.
I think she's like, cute because she reminds me of the wife from Grounded for Life. Did you ever watch that sitcom?
Yes, I did. But the difference is that actually, she actually has character. That actor, yeah. I don't know the actress's name, but like her in that role would have been more interesting. You know, that kind of, you know, like, or at least someone with personality. Because I didn't realize this until I just realized it. Scott Pilgrim. She was in Scott Pilgrim. She was the Clash of Demon Head.
Yep.
Chick, whatever her name is. And I was like, that's how bland she is. Be all gussied up and all this costume and this and that whatever, and we dressed all in white and we standing out. Completely ignore her. It's like she can be. It's like a dark room. And it's like
my concerns are less with her than they are with the film and the concept of Captain Marvel in general. I totally think they could have gone a different way, and at the very least could have introduced Captain Marvel far earlier in the piece.
Well, you know they've retconned the character, right? That now that Carol, they've retconned that Carol Danvers in the comics, so they could say, well, it's in the comics that Carol Danvers is now Kree, or she has Kree origin,
right?
That she's Kree by birth.
But they spent a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, the TV series, focusing on the Kree. Yet they seem to have abandoned all that, even though it's supposedly in-universe.
Well, that's the whole thing. That was a part of the... That's Ike's deal. Everybody forgets the comics and TV shows, that's Ike Perlmutter.
Right.
Everything else, that's Feige. The movies, it's Feige. And it's like, yeah, you can have Sif, and you can... You know, maybe we get Samuel Jackson to show up, and then Kobe Smulders says... It's better this than it was like How I Met Your Mother, you know, whatever. But that's about it. That's all they got. They got table scraps.
It's like a weird ass version of Saw or something. You know, you have to side with either Ike Perlmutter or Kevin Feige.
Either way, it's just a bad choice because you got like truncated character origins, and hey, we got to put more Robert Downey Jr. in here because everybody loves Robert Downey Jr. Ugh.
Look. Here's a similar actor who has Robert Downey Jr.'s box office bankability, Tom Hanks. Have you heard about this film, Greyhound?
I have not.
Okay, so we know he's no stranger to World War II films. He's returning to the theater of war to command a naval ship, Greyhound, which was pursued by German U-boats across the Atlantic Ocean, along with 36 other Allied ships. So it sounds kind of like a wet Battlestar Galactica.
Well, I was you'd also say it's basically The Last Jedi, but probably more fun.
Wow.
Slow pursuit across great distance.
Yeah, but I don't think there'll be any hopping off at casino islands
going to Monte Carlo
on the way. Yeah.
They're going to go to Monte Carlo for a bit.
Yeah, they try it and they just get shot.
And then there's a sailor in a boat, and this woman rams his boat. You can't fight the Nazis by killing them. You have to love and save. And then she gets the U-boat pops up.
All right. Here's another March film, which at the moment I don't want to see, and I think has just got too much hype about it. Dumbo.
No, I will not. Because not only is it just like the live-action Disney films, which just release the movies back in theaters, release the original films. You know, how many people actually own Dumbo on Blu-ray, DVD, whatever, or even VHS? Go release the original film, show the artistry of hand-drawn animation. But it's a Tim Burton film. It's going to be like 90% CG, so you can't really call it live action at that point. I know you got Michael Keaton playing the bad guy.
It's just, and Danny DeVito playing the ringmaster. So it's pretty much just him cracking open the costumes from Big Fish, yeah. I don't know why we do this. I know why we do this. This is the post writer strike world we live in.
Yeah, this is the world that we have. This is the hell we created because people like, you know, I'll give it a chance. No, don't give no chances. You know, it looks good. It's like the same thing with the I know it's, you know, different month, but Lion King.
Yeah.
And then, you know, which is live action. It isn't live action. Don't you lie.
You know? It's just all CG. Anyway, let's move on because we're in agreement about that one. Okay, for April, Shazam. This is an interesting one. Part of me wants to see it, part of me doesn't.
It looks kind of bad, but it also looks kind of – it looks like Venom. It reminds me of the Venom movie or even really Aquaman, because after seeing Aquaman, I'm like, you know, which this, it looks more like if you did Kick-Ass but kid-friendly.
You know, where Venom felt like a continuation of a 90s film, this looks like a continuation of a late 80s film.
I get what you're going for. It looks kind of like, it's basically Big. Okay, yeah. If Aquaman is kind of like Tron Legacy, this is like Big. You know?
All right, so, let's move on. This one I know you are in for 100%. I'm still on the fence because I've got a soft spot for the original and I think it's too soon for a remake. We're, of course, talking about Hellboy.
After seeing the trailer, I've softened on it. I have, after seeing the trailer, because I was expecting something very Clive Barker, Hellraiser kind of like.
Right.
And this looks more like, I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, trailers are very misleading. But the scenes in the trailers, unless they're just made directly for that trailer, like what they did, you know, they've done that in the past for, you know, movies, or changed it while filming, like the whole... This is rebellion, right? I rebel. Like, you know, that for Rogue One. After seeing that trailer, I was like, oh, this does not bode well. And my interest.
To mine, it looks like they've Taika Waititi'd the original Hellboy.
It looks like they pulled a Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And to me, like, I had zero interest in seeing that. And it's this... more comedy. It's more like a Marvel movie now. I'm expecting, and then like you I should. Me and you don't always agree, but I can try to find common ground with you. I had to admit that legendary AF, and I'm like, oh no. So yeah, I'm you know you're I might catch. I might do it like I did with Venom, just like rent it on Amazon.
Look, there's worse things, and you were about to say it before, you could do than spending the price of admission to watch Mila Jovovich on screen. I mean,
well, honestly,
I sat through the Ultraviolet film and all the Resident Evils purely because of
her. I couldn't get through it. I'm not a fan of her.
I am.
The one film I really liked that she like I really like her in was Fifth Element. Everything else is like.
All right. Here's one I know you're definitely in for: Avengers Endgame.
You're very funny. You got jokes. He's got jokes, everyone. He's got jokes.
I'm a double threat, but a single threat for now. We yet to see what the double bit is.
We'll see that right there. I hope whatever comes of it, that people are disappointed because I want to see the cracks start to form in Marvel. I want to see the cracks. I want to see. Yes. I want to embrace the hatred. I want to see people turn on Marvel. I want to see the pitchforks and torches come out. I want to see people angry. I want to see like these. I'm tired of this. The same story over and over again. Like I want to see that.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of crack, because a lot was smoked at this pitch meeting. Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
The fact that they got Ryan Reynolds, it makes me kind of hate Ryan Reynolds now. Well, Deadpool 2 is like. I'm watching it, enjoying it at the time. I laugh pretty hard. There's stuff I laugh pretty hard at. But I've not had a single interest in rewatching it, no matter what. And if they'd have cast, like, if they'd have put Danny DeVito as the voice of Pikachu, somebody, you know, somebody interested, like Danny DeVito is Pikachu, he's in the trash. Or he comes out of the couch. You know, stuff like that. Always Sunny references, folks. Yeah, the good old days of it. But
just shits in the I would bed. Be interested.
But the whole, it's you know, it's like the movie Harvey meets a little bit. It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and that's about it.
Yeah, definitely got a Who Framed Roger Rabbit vibe there for sure. Well, I think that's going to be the highest grossing film of the year. Because it's got the Asian market, yeah. Asian market, Weibo market, gay market, all the markets.
But they forget. People forget the, you know, sorry, people of Asia, if you're listening, but people forget the fact that maybe that's the reason they cast a guy that's not 100% black, because you know they had like basically Photoshop Finn out of all the Asian Star Wars Force Awakens posters. So it's like this. Well, he's half black. Maybe cast like an Asian actor, or I don't know, American guy. Like that's why the Michael Bay movies do so well over there, because it's like this all American, it's the American flag. You know,
we've all seen Rising Sun. We know exactly what Asians think about black people. Moving on. John Wick, Chapter 3.
Boring.
Really? I really enjoyed Chapter 2.
Oh, even that Ruby Rose?
Even though it had that horrible thing in it.
Dude, you're more feminine than that creature.
Look, I know that that's not her mission in life. She is a gay woman,
I'd use that she very lightly. That's bordering on a question mark symbol kind of deal.
Yeah, look, I don't think her sexuality should define her, but I think she does, and that's probably my problem with her. But that film ended. Did you see the second chapter?
No, it had zero interest. It wasn't just the hype for the first John Wick, because I remember watching it. I was like, I'll give this a shot. Finally give it a shot. I'm like, outside of the bare, like, so it's so stiff the way, you know, understand, oh my God, the way Keanu, you know, fires the weapons. Like, yes, but he fires it like it's a demonstration. And yeah, it isn't shot interesting. The story's boring. Yes, it's a revenge story, but make it an interesting revenge story. The music wasn't there. The character stuff. Oh, he's the guy who kills the better guys. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I was like, this is no. I have zero interest in that. And then they took his car. They mocked this in the Grand Theft Auto games.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm a man of peace. I'm done killing. You know, I want to raise a family. That's just it, Tim. They've got your family. No, it's that. But without the humor, without the heart, and it's just like, I like Keanu, I like him, but it's the fact that he's just, you know, just going around and he's technically shooting, he's like being technical about his shooting and then reloading and using this and doing that. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's like how somebody would do it, but it makes it boring. It's like it's the Nolan Batman effect. Well, we have to show how he got the Batmobile, how he got this, how he got. It's like,
well, no, you don't.
No, just give me. Okay, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
it's too technical.
Well, okay. We've already discussed. I've already forgotten it. That's how memorable it is. We've already discussed the live action version of what was the Disney film?
Lion King Dumbo.
Dumbo. There you go. That's how necessary it is that my brain's already purged it. There's a Guy Ritchie live adaptation of Aladdin. We'll just move on.
The only thing I can think of is how far has Will Smith fallen? He used to be like the guy.
It was that After Earth film.
I think it was before that. I want to say when he started getting a little too artsy. He should have stayed that blockbuster. You don't see Tom Cruise doing, you know, like, an art house picture kind of thing. As much as I have issues with Tom Cruise, like, Will Smith, like, oh, I want to do, like, it was the Brain Damage movie. He did that, was it the 7 pounds or whatever, that stuff too. He tried to be like, see, I'm more than just a big name movie star. Now he's, you know, but the genie will be blue. But the genie, like, that's the thing that you take away from it. The genie will be blue.
I don't know. I liked Hancock. That was the last time I remember really digging Will Smith. Godzilla King of Monsters in May.
Okay, I forgot about that. I'm going to see that because I'm a Ghidorah fan.
Ken Watanabe's back in it.
Ken Watanabe, and it's like with him in it, but then the monsters, you got Godzilla, you got Mothra, you got Ghidorah, you got Rodan, and apparently like three or four others. There's
13 from Stranger Things is in it.
Oh, 11, you mean?
11, sorry. Who's 13?
Yeah, it's
Oh, 13's from House. Sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, at this point, I just want. Oh yeah, the mother from Paddington is Ken Watanabe's coworker. You know, the mom from Paddington, the Gill Man, the Gill Man effer. Yeah, Guillermo del Toro's twisted. Okay, we get it, Guillermo del Toro. Yes, it's supposed to be. This isn't in a world where if you walk around in America today, it's like, see, I got to do a movie that shows how you know love can be blind, literally, and it's people from two different worlds, literally, and it's a woman with the allegory of her falling in love with a man, you know, quote unquote, a black man, but he's a fish man, and it. They have graphic sex. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
What are you doing, Gilmore?
I still haven't seen that. But, yeah, I got the impression that there was an Abe Sapien joint. He really wanted to spin off from Hellboy, but couldn't.
His fanfic.
Yeah.
My OC, please don't steal.
all right, let's move along. I am so against this one, but you know what? Fox screwed it up once. Let's watch them screw it up twice. They're retelling the Dark Phoenix saga, this time with the X-Men First Class ensemble.
Well, the X-Men... the X-Men Apocalypse ensemble.
Well,
because this is the one... Well, most of them...
It's the story that started with First Class. So it's still going to be helmed by McAvoy, Fassbender, and that empty... I was going to say a swear word, but I really can't. Something dumpster of a woman, Jennifer Lawrence.
It looks so bad. Dude, I always thought the Quietly costumes looked pretty cool in the comics at the time because it was something different. And then seeing them in that trailer made me laugh. It's like, oh no, what are you doing? And then it's like, of course, Magneto has got to be in the film yet again because you can't do an X-Men movie without Magneto. Because it's the only villain to have other than, you know, whatever. Like, they've done the Phoenix twice. Done Magneto, what, a dozen times? He's the villain? No, there's been no Omega Red. No Omega Reds. Juggernaut showed up in Deadpool, but that's it. Juggernaut that was in, you know, The Last Stand. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, well, we only know Magneto. We got to show Xavier versus Magneto the contrast. It's like... This is okay. I have zero interest in that. I don't know about you, but dude, why? Why would you do it?
What I don't get is that they seem to be cutting costs on Jennifer Lawrence's makeup in each film.
Well, it's also she didn't want to do it too. That's another thing. It's like, I'll be in your movie, but I ain't wearing that stupid makeup.
When you look at what she looks like between the four films that she's been in, it's.
But she does nothing. That's the thing. Like, Mystique is not a oh, wow, Mystique, you know, what they did in, God bless Rebecca Romijn. The fact that she was willing to, you know,
I was going to say, Rebecca Romijn acts better in the Smurf suit than Jennifer Lawrence ever did.
Yeah, but, you know, this is the kind of thing that you're dealing with. You get a little too, yeah, they just got cheap. But the last one looks like they just spray painted her face blue and then just like stuck some stuff to her like post-it notes.
They're doing less and less with every film. Well, looking more and more human with every film as well.
I have zero interest. Also, the story, like, oh, wow, Dark Phoenix. Like, okay, second try. Okay, whatever.
It's also a huge story. It's like, it's the War and Peace of X-Men lore. You can't just tell it and done in one film.
And it's, to me, it isn't. I don't want to even tell it in the begin with. I mean, if you're gonna do a film, do it post Jean Grey's dead, Dark Phoenix happened, and set the movie after that. That's what you should do. Like, you know, like set up the, you know, builds up world, build its world building without having to show everything. You can allude to stuff, and then the Phoenix shows back up. So, oh, crazy, you know. But it turns out to be Rachel Summers, you know, Phoenix Force or whatever.
Larry, I've got a confession to make. I think we've talked about this before. I enjoy Men in Black 3.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Men in Black 2.
Hmm.
It was Men in Black 3. It was basically, it was the science police from Superman.
Yeah.
The science police, which eventually leads superheroes, current Superman, and then the future Legion superheroes, the science police. If Lobo broke out of jail and they had to take him down without Superman, that's basically the movie.
Pretty much it.
You know, so, and it's good. It's really good.
So because of that, there's a little part of me that would be interested in watching eventually when it comes out on Netflix, Men in Black International.
The reason I won't is because they're pulling that, you thought New York was the where it started. I'm like, don't you give me this, the secret origin, you know, it was really here all the time, you know, this kind of stuff. It's like, no, they established that New York is where the hub was. That's where it was. And this whole thing, like, we got to do it international. You're dealing with aliens. They travel in spaceships. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's, you know, oh God, I have zero interest in it.
What about Sam Jackson doing another Shaft film in June?
Are you going to get Christian Bale to be the bad guy again?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was funny. It's basically Christian, back before Christian Bale kind of, you know, blew up with the whole, you know, everything he was doing, like getting into characters and stuff. But, you know, I think it was like around him, like a little bit before or maybe a little after.
Well, this is going to be a new Shaft, actually, with Jesse Usher as Shaft. But Sam Jackson will be in it.
That's just odd.
Okay. Toy Story 4. I've got kids, so I have to see that as a rule.
Yeah,
but I'm a bit tired on that. What else is here? There's another remake of The Grudge called, affectionately, Grudge. A remake of the American remake of the Japanese horror favorite. Grudge once again focuses on a vengeful ghost with a long memory. Wow.
This is
the hero we deserve, Larry. Okay, I'm going to see this, and I know you definitely won't. Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, you can have that. I don't need it.
I really enjoyed the last one. Here we go. I know you're going to be in line for this. We've mentioned already, so we'll move on. Lion King live action /CG really, it's just the first one. Yeah. All right, what about this one? Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in July.
Nope. Tarantino, I have zero in. After suffering through just, you know, the torment, I subjected you to it so I could feel my pain. Django Unchained.
Yeah.
That was the last one I watched. And it was more like, you know,
Red Dead Redemption has got me interested in Hateful Eight, but I won't be for a while.
You gotta know. Unlike Hateful Eight, Red Dead Redemption is actually fun and interesting.
Yeah.
It has more character probably.
All right. This one I know you're in for, but I'm still not sure. Only because I can't trust film studios to get comics right. New Mutants in August. Well, that's my birthday, actually, August 2nd.
Oh, wow. There you go. See, there you go. That's a sign. That's a portent. But that right there, it was pushed back. It was supposed to come out earlier. Actually, it was supposed to come out last year. And then they pushed it back because, you know, why did they push it back so far? All the reshoots. But pretty much every movie gets reshot, which is like, okay. It's like, you know, jump to the conclusions. And they said, we're going to make it scarier because it's supposed to be a horror movie to a degree. It's supposed to be like, you know, oh, just because you've got mutant powers doesn't mean like monsters can, you know, don't exist.
Yeah.
Especially if you're new with it and everything. So I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to it. And then they push it back even more. And it's like, why did they push it back? Oh, yeah, because the schedule's so crowded. You know, the movies, like everything's going to come out. It's like you got three or four movies here, three or four movies there. It's like if you don't put it at the right time. And even then, if you put it at the right time, it's supposed to come out like last January. Or last March, and then, you know.
This one will be August. Very, very interesting. Moving on, because I just realized we're running low on time. Hobbs and Shaw. Have you heard of Hobbs and Shaw?
No, I have not.
I don't think it's your cup of tea at all, but I think this could be a silent killer at the box office. Hobbs was the character that Dwayne The Rock Johnson played in the Fast and Furious films. Shaw was the villain played by Jason Statham. So they get a spin-off that's directed by the director of John Wick and Deadpool 2 called Hobbs and Shaw. So between Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham, we're going to see some pretty interesting stuff.
We're going to get a Fast and Furious cinematic universe eventually.
We will. We will.
Oh, no. Technically, we will. We already have one. If this is coming out, this is a...
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is... Oh, God.
Maybe they'll stumble across a reality where Paul Walker didn't pass away in a fiery mess. But...
Pull up to him in a car like, hey, wait a second. or he's wrestling it for eternity against Freddie Mercury.
And Anton Yelchin. Rest in peace. All right, this one will be interesting. Moving along very quickly. Artemis Fowl. So this is a Harry Potter-esque story that has been on the back burner for quite a while. These books have been very popular amongst young adult readers. So it'd be interesting to see if enough time has passed for a new challenger to enter the ring, especially considering that last, what's it called, the...
Fantastic Beasts.
Grindelbum, whatever. That tanked so famously. Yeah. All right, we're in September already. It, Chapter 2. I haven't seen It, Chapter 1, so...
Have zero interest.
Downton Abbey, the film? Nope.
okay. Who needs Ambien?
This is going to really frustrate the heck out of you, but I've watched several times now a film that my kids have discovered on Netflix, and it's a film I never thought I'd watch. In fact, I feel like taking a dirt nap just for watching it. But not only that, it's actually watchable. The Angry Birds movie has a sequel coming out this year.
I don't even think I know you anymore. I really don't.
Mate, like, don't have kids. Don't have kids. It just melts your brain, clearly. Like, I can feel it coming out my nostrils.
I have enough old DVDs. I have, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Iron Giant, all that stuff. They'll just watch that. What's a DVD? Like, no, that's all the... Like, I'm like...
I've got all that DVD too. In fact, I've even got copies of them on the hard drive connected to the media player so that they don't even have to take anything out and put it in a box.
I'll never subject myself to that stuff, though. That will never happen.
Like I said, I was surprised by how uncrap the Angry Birds movie was. Anyway, moving along. Zombieland 2.
No.
Really? I like Zombieland 1. Did you?
I hated that movie. I hated it so much. Emma Stone, I hated her. Jesse Eisenberg, I kind of like Woody Harrelson. If it was a movie basically just about Woody Harrelson's character, and then it teams up with Bill Murray, I'd been fine. But then the rest of the characters and stuff, I had zero connection to them. It was a hype movie, overhyped movie. It's like, oh my God, it's so good. No, it stunk.
Okay.
It really stung.
Okay. Here's one that you may actually enjoy. We've already talked about Will Smith. Now, I know your favorite Hulk film is the Ang Lee one. Ang Lee is directing a Will Smith sci-fi film called Gemini Man. Have you heard of this?
I have not. What is this?
It's got a little bit of Looper about it in that it centers on an assassin looking to exit his career who faces his biggest obstacle. He has to defeat a younger clone of himself.
So it's Django being hunted by Boba Fett.
I guess so, yeah.
I'm down.
Supporting cast is Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Clive Owen. That's pretty ace.
All right.
That
could be interesting.
We're rounding off the last of them here. Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Robert De Niro.
The people hype for this, that thing. I wish I could spit on them all. Just press S to spit because
what do you think about the speculation that this is not the same Joker?
Well, it's like, you know, I guess standalone, but I was like, who cares? Like it's kind of like what they did with Venom. It's like, you know, Venom has like no references to Spider-Man. It's just Venom was Venom.
Yeah,
and so I think it's gonna be like Joker's Joker, which is you gotta have a foil, but even then it's like I'm tired of the Joker. You could resurrect Heath Ledger could rise from his grave and be and look, you know, not look like a rotted corpse, but you know, be back to normal. I'd still have zero interest in the Joker. Well, I think he would too. He'd be like, you know what, guys, I'm just gonna quit acting. I'll be with my family.
All right. So what else is here? We've got an untitled Terminator project coming out in November.
Oh, that's the one where it's all female. That's the one they brought. That's the one directed by Tim Miller.
Yep, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton. Deadpool. Yeah,
and it's like this very mannish female Terminator, which is BS because Sarah Connor Chronicles. You had Summer Glau, and it's like, oh wow, it's a little tiny Summer Glau, like a little River, River Tam. What's she gonna do? And they forget the fact that. You know, these Terminators, they can move kind of quick when they want to, especially the smaller ones.
All right. You know? Kingsman 3, I'm in for that.
Oh, it's coming out this year?
Yeah, November.
Is it Matthew Vaughn directing it?
Let's have a look. Yep, with same crew, Taron Egerton and Colin Firth.
Okay, oh, you know what? I'm down. I enjoyed the second one. It wasn't as good as the first, but it's kind of hard to top that. But there's bits in that second one. I better than the last couple Bond films. You know, so. Okay.
And the last two on this list. I think you know the last one. It's a certain Star Wars Episode 9. And we know you're out on that. But this one I had no idea was coming. Directed by Aaron and Adam Nee, who I assume are brothers or husbands. Masters of the Universe. The most powerful man in the universe is back. This is the second attempt to bring the Protector of Grayskull's secrets to the big screen and is directed by Adam and Aaron Nee, who made a well-received indie Band of Robbers about a grown-up modern-day Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. It doesn't say anything about the film.
That makes the fact that you haven't heard nothing of it, and it's, I know it's January, but still, you've heard nothing of it. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign.
Anyway. That's movies. Why don't we take more of a fleeting look through TV? Everyone, apart from me, is interested about Game of Thrones. I've never watched an episode of the show. Larry, is that your thing?
I'm actually looking forward to the last season of Game of Thrones. Go ahead, let it be over. I'm actually going to watch that. But outside of that, and possibly a return of Man in the High Castle, which might make a return this year. Who knows at this point? Possibly more The Expanse, which if you're Detective Noir, Battlestar Galactic kind of stuff, that's really it as far as TV goes. Because I'd given up Netflix, and the only reason I regretted it is because apparently Clone Wars is on that, Star Wars Clone Wars, and
not in this country, maybe yours.
It might be. Well, it was at one time, apparently.
It was here. That's right. It was here. My kids watched it all the time. They watched all the droid episodes. I'm interested in the seventh and final episode of Veep. I really enjoyed that show. And it's ending, of course, because of Julia Louis-Dreyfus going into chemo. The Watchmen TV series has my interest because I think a TV series could do it justice.
I have zero interest because it's Lynn Loft being involved. He's the showrunner. Yep.
All right.
So if you enjoyed Lost, you'll enjoy that.
Well, I know you hated season two, but I was pleasantly surprised, probably because everyone hated it. So I'm looking forward to season three of Stranger Things.
They screwed up. They should have just season one should have been basically the what they did, and then season two should have been like the slasher killers, that kind of thing. Like full 80s, not just the same. Oh, the under whatever. Forget it.
Imagine. Look at this. Season two of Taboo.
Oh wow, it's coming back!
Yeah,
I didn't know if it was coming back. That's actually really like if you've seen season like oh Legion could be coming back this year, could be.
I don't know.
It might be as well. But what I'm saying is, imagine 11 versus like a Jason Voorhees or Freddy Krueger type.
Right.
Freddy Krueger type is like inside his body wanders like a mindless zombie, but the guy's mind is like in the dreams of the kids, and Eleven's got to go. She's got to battle him mentally. On the astral plane and the physical plane, like hitting them with trees and cables and stuff. Like, I mean, how cool would that be? I think that'd be pretty cool. Cops show up, like shooting them, and they just ain't doing nothing. The bullets are having no effect. Werewolves.
Season three of Glow. Didn't you watch season one?
No, I didn't watch that. No, Glorious that was Ladies Netflix. I already canceled by that point. Okay, canceled by that point.
yeah, not much is really. Jumping out for me, but that's probably where we're at with TV. Gaming. Well, we've got.
That's,
Yeah.
It's a dead zone for me as far as that goes. Maybe when
I'm interested in Kingdom Hearts 3.
I know. Now that you don't have to do the.
Well, I never. You said I don't have to. I never.
Now, yeah, you're good. I'm saying you don't have to now, but it's like, but yeah, it's outside of Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, what else is going on? Nothing much. I mean, I know they're eventually.
There's a new Trials game. They're fun. Yeah, the cycling, motocross ones. Jump Force looks interesting, but a bit tedious as well. That's the one that's a fighting game that merges Dragon Ball, Naruto, One Piece, and Bleach, as well as a few other. Crackdown 3?
I never really liked Crackdown series. I've given them a shot, but they just never clicked with me.
There's a patch for the last Far Cry called Far Cry New Dawn.
Yeah, it's a post-apocalyptic patch, and the DLC, it's too bright. I understand, like, Fury Road was bright, but it had, like, it was selective on its colors. It wasn't bright greens and bright yellows and bright, it doesn't look right.
There's Destiny with jetpacks, also called Anthem.
I don't think I'm going to be pitching a pitch, whatever.
What about Devil May Cry 5?
That actually looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. That looks pretty good.
This one looks good, I think. Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
That's the samurai, the Ronin one, right?
The Ronin one, That actually looked very interesting. Look, you've talked me out of buying Mortal Kombat 10, so I don't think Mortal Kombat 11 is going to be high on your radar in April.
I'm going to tell you right now, like the fact that it's... They're not as fun as like the Mortal Kombat, the one that was just called Mortal Kombat, which would be Mortal Kombat 9. That was a great game. It was, but the rest of them, they've gotten too cinematic. I don't need cutscenes in a fighting game. Like 2-3 seconds, maybe a little character banter, and then boom, fight. But not this 5 minutes, and then it's a quick time events. Oh, press X to do this. I mean, I don't want to. What are you doing? But,
Yeah. Look,
but that's about it, man. It's like really the years, eventually stuff will pop out. But
okay. Here's one. Given how surprising Battlefield 2 was, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. It's done by Respawn, published by EA.
The same people with Titanfall.
Yeah.
The Titanfall people.
And there's a new Titanfall coming out this year, too.
All right. I'll be down for that because I love Titanfall 2, but... Respawn used to be people to put up Infinity Ward. Respawn used to be Infinity Ward. So they're putting out a...
So this film, Jedi Fallen Order, takes place between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. And you play allegedly a surviving Padawan.
So basically a good version of Star Wars Rebels.
Hey, do you take that back? That's a great show.
No, that animation is horrible. The only bit of Star Wars Rebels I watched is somebody put all the Rex episodes and the other clone troopers.
Yeah.
Like when they're on Scarif, the salt planet from...
on that big walker.
Yeah, they're AT-TE.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're AT-TE versus the AT-AT, which is like this is better movie than the sequels. Yeah. What are you doing? And then the retcon that Rex is actually the old man and the bearded guy in Return of the Jedi that's got his hands up in the stormtrooper armor.
Yep.
The and apparently that character has a name. I'm like, only Star Wars fans would give the characters names that only have like, they're not even, they're like in the background, in the corner. Oh, and his name is, how do you know what his name is? The movie hasn't
it's
even
Star
come
Wars.
Out
that's
yet.
All you need to say. It's the biggest fandom in the cross media world. Okay, what about this one? Halo Infinite.
Now that I am after Halo 5 and how much they screwed up, not only did they screw the pooch on the what we found out with the Master Chief Collection, where we're having a good time. You were loving it. You're loving the gameplay.
I freaked out with joy playing Halo 2.
Yeah, and then the game got buggier and buggier because of the coding.
Yeah.
And it just became unplayable. Halo 5 is the same way for me. Like Halo 5, there's a multiplayer options. I was playing with some people. It would disconnect me. And which means I would not only be penalized from disconnecting, because it would show me as disconnecting. Like if I quit.
Yeah.
I didn't quit. The game kicked me out, but it disconnected me. Which means if I had these XP boosts or this boost or that, it would not refund that to me, and any XP I earned I would not gain because I basically left. Yeah. You have to play the whole match. And it was unplayable. Also, it's like 100 gigabytes for like a 6-hour campaign and then multiplayer. So
that's crazy.
Infinite, I'm on the fence.
All right. This one has me interested only because it's a huge spectacle and it's either going to be amazing or go down in a fiery heap. I don't even have the console for it. Death Stranding.
I used to be a Kojima fan. I'm talking huge Kojima fan. I've got to the point now, it's the cult of Kojima, where it's like the guy can do no wrong. There's people like, I'm like, he's a frustrated movie director. It's like no one would give him the money for a movie, but they'll give him like the same amount for a video game.
Yeah.
Where you're basically watching interactive cutscenes at most. Gone are the days of, you know, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, where you're in the jungle picking bullets out of your body or pulling out arrows and eating tree frogs and sneaking around with the right camo on and doing stuff like that, where now it's, you know, abstract art, video game, guy with a fetus and Guillermo del Toro and Mads Mikkelsen and stuff like that. Like, what are you doing?
I'm interested to see how that goes. It's either going to be a successful Evel Knievel stunt or a very bad Evel Knievel stunt. But either way, I'm watching.
But dude, you got to think. When's the last time there was like, oh my God, that was a complete and utter bomb? Everything is like middle of the road nowadays.
True.
It's like half the people say it sucks.
Except for Halo 5. Everyone agrees that Halo 5 was shit.
Yeah. You know what? It's like that the meme with the Predator meme with the Arnold and Dylan and Dutch.
Dylan and Dutch.
You know, it's like, you know, these people united against that. You know, that's how it is.
Well, look, I know your answer to this question, but I'm asking for formality's sake, and it's an interesting segue. Larry, is there any music you're looking forward to being released in 2019?
Hopefully one of these movies I watch has a really good soundtrack, original score, because right. I'm a big fan of original scores.
I'll wrap it up with the albums I know are coming out that I'm looking forward to, that I will check out. One is Run the Jewels. They're a hip-hop group. I've actually played in one of our end-of-year mixes. And it's a white guy and a black guy. They're both pretty crude and anti-establishment, but they're really well known for last year having a big political fallout with one another. That being said, they had a great song on the Venom soundtrack. Anyway, they've got an album coming out, and I know firsthand that conflict within a band either splits it up or makes it even better. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they release.
All right.
Bruce Springsteen's apparently going to release a new album. And look, he's not mine.
Is he going to talk about how he's one of the people, even though he lives in like a $20 million mansion? And
he's one of the people.
You know, it's like, yeah, he's one of the people. He's like, oh, I'm just a common man living in my mansion. whoa.
I don't know. Very possibly. That seems to be his trend. I'm not a huge Springsteen fan, but I can appreciate what he does. So I will sniff around that. There's not much
If Perturbator puts out an album this year, I'm down. Or Kavinsky. I'm down. But Kavinsky hasn't done anything in a while. So
I do actually want to get Vampire Weekend, their new album. So they've apparently finished it back in August, and it was getting mastered. So I'm looking forward to that coming out. I realize it's probably a little bit man bun music for you there, Larry, but I'm a fan.
It sounds like it. I've never listened to them, so I'd have to take your word for it.
I'm sure you have. Well, if you've watched any indie film starring Aubrey Plaza in the past 10 years, you would have heard.
I watched one movie with her somewhat recently. It was called The Little Hours.
I bet you it's in that. Let's have a look. The Little Hours soundtrack.
Yeah, it was. It's got. It's movie's got. It's about three nuns in a nunnery, and they're very vulgar, and they're. It's a weird. It's a weird little indie movie. It was just probably got them on there.
It doesn't seem to.
Okay. Wow. No. So I dodged that bullet.
No.
I might be
Vampire Weekend, Fleet Foxes, Grizzly Bear. They're all the ones that appear on all your.
They have badass names, but they're the softest. Like, I've seen butter that's on the surface of the sun that's harder than this music. You know.
It's all basically the Garden State soundtrack. The Shins.
I hate that movie. And I hate Zach Braff for making that movie.
It's a pretty pathetic film.
It just does
nothing. It says nothing. Anyway, look.
I know we got to wrap it up, but I'll just say this one last thing. I'll wrap it up with this. I just, you reminded me of something. The fact that while away the radio, there was a station playing music, and they happened to play music, and it was, I'm like, what the hell is this song? It's like, oh my God, this is New Kids on the Block, and it sounds a lot more. Like harder and more interesting than a lot of music today, and it maybe hurt because it's like 30 years old. It makes me feel like a real old man. But with that, folks, I think we probably should wrap it up. And
tell us about this music you're listening to.
Oh no, it was New Kids on the Block.
Oh, it was them all along.
Them all along. I was like, oh no, it's New Kids on the Block, because I don't want to fuck such an old man, but I know I am, because deep down. It's this for being produced. It's like the modern music's so overly produced these days. And then we got the newer, like this old stuff, which was produced, like, but you had like one writer. It's like somebody that had a little bit of talent. Now you're like, it's done by committee, and no wonder it sucks. It's like, you know, auto tune done by committee and like multiple producers. And it's just a mess. And I'm like, what are you doing? And it made me actually look back and like, wow, I really have to reflect. It's like how I view the 70s. Like, oh, it's a shallow, like the disco era stuff. I enjoy not all disco music, but I like a good chunk of it. Not all disco sucks. Disco can suck, but not all disco sucks.
I find, as a rule, 70s disco is way better than 80s disco.
Well, when they were right with the whole, you know, disco demolition night, when they're like blowing up records. You know, people like burning bonfires in a baseball field. So, yeah.
I don't know. Unlike film, I find establishment of a musical form is often a little bit more enjoyable listening to than deconstruction of a musical form. As opposed to film, where you've got, you know, the Western versus Once Upon a Time in the West kind of thing.
The Once Upon a Time in the West is still a damn good Western, though. It's not deconstruction. It was more like... Like, the deconstruction would be, not really. Well, it didn't seem like a deconstruction. It just seemed like a different take on it, like a foreign take on the Western.
Oh, really? There's a ton of essays which pretty much treat it as the deconstruction of the Western.
I don't see it, because, like, okay, the movie starts out with, the lone gunman coming into town to clean up, but it turns out he's not there to clean up town. He's there for revenge. It's a revenge story.
Yeah.
But it's like a lot of those Westerns, and it's beautifully done. The bad guys are the bad guys. The good guys are the good guys. A deconstruction would be, hey, the bad guy is really the good guy, and the good guy is really the bad guy.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a lot of people, they just want to talk about Once Upon a Time in the West, or if not, bring it down a peg, because... Considering at the time, like, hey, Searchers is a good movie, not as good as Once Upon a Time in the West, visually, you know, musically, and the whole scene when you see Frank walking out of the blurry vision, and he walks up, he's like, it is that whole, the build up to that, because they show a little bit of it, and then they back off. 20 minutes, 15 minutes later, they show it again,
yeah,
and then back off. He's like, what's going on? And it's like,
harmonica music that's been bugging you the whole film, like, stop it already, suddenly makes sense.
And it's this, you know, play the harmonica for your brother. And it got like, it's like eventually you're going to, like, your hands are hand tied behind your back. Your brother's feet is on your shoulders. And then eventually you're going to give out and he's going to be hung and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And it's like that right there. It's like, well, that's a deconstruction. Like, they used to hang people in the old Western stuff. They used to burn down the towns and do this and that. Well, how's it a deconstruction? It's like, well, my article, if you'd read my, like, no, I'm going to read your article because your article stinks. No, but It's a great film. It's such a great film. It's honestly the best. You know, it's my best. It's my favorite Sergio Leone film.
Agreed. We've disagreed on a lot of things throughout this episode, Larry, but it's great to end on something that we do. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's something that you disagree with us about, we want to hear it. We welcome your dissent. let us know through Twitter, at Larry King Undead for the good Mr. King over there, at Antonio Sanciolo for the evil Mr. Sanciolo over here. You've got Facebook. We've got a Facebook page, Ant King Frequency. You've got email. Just podcast at antkingfrequency.com. Please be kind to one another in 2019. And look, I'm not going to bleep it, but I think my personal motto stands for all of you out there. Don't be a dick.